Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he'll see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Beloved of the Lord, all those united to Jesus Christ and faithfully keeping covenant with him, God promises that Jesus Christ has tasted death for you, that you might follow him unto victory, glory, and honor. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond with joyful song unto the Lord our God for his grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. As God's people, let us weekly, let us daily confess that we desire for God to take our will and to make it his, to change us to be more like our Lord. And he does that by speaking to us in his word. And God's will for life this morning is taken from 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 25. These are the words of God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now praying, asking for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? Give ear to our words, O Lord. Consider our sign. Listen to our cry for help, our King and our God, for to you we pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear our voices. In the morning we lay our requests before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men you abhor. But we, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will we bow down toward your holy temple. Lead us, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of our enemies, make straight our way before you. Not a word from their mouths can be trusted. Their hearts are filled with destruction. Their throats are open graves. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But, O Lord, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let us ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over us, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. But surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround us with your favor as with a shield. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us stand together singing with joyful hearts unto the Lord our God. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 18. Hebrews 2, 9 through 18. Brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 2, 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and infallible word. Sitting with a brother in Christ recently, I was listening to him lament difficult situations some of his friends and acquaintances were experiencing as of late. It seemed like it was piling on. Job loss, broken relationships, sickness, even death. And listening to him, I could tell from his voice that he was very heavy-hearted. And he asked, concerning some of these tragedies and sufferings, he said, "What do you say to someone who's suffering in such a situation? How do you tell someone that God uses that for good? How can God use a tragedy that these people were experiencing, a suffering, how can He use that for good?" the brother asked. Now, I posed the question to you a few Lord's days ago, that within our body, within our family here of Hamlin Reformed, what do we say to each other in the midst of suffering? How do we counsel one another? This congregation is very good at responding to people struggling, to people having trials in their lives. You can see it. There may be a prayer request on a given Sunday, given Lord's Day, and after the service, many within this body flock to that person to ask how they're doing. It's great. We do a great job at that, here. But when we sit down and we start having conversations talking about it, what do we say to one another? How do we counsel each other? And I asked, can we offer them more than, "Hey, just grin and bear it. You'll get through it. You just have to endure." Can we give them something more than that? Romans 8:28, one of the most known and most used verses in Scripture regarding the faithful response of God's people to suffering. I'm not going to call on you, but does anybody know that verse by heart? Romans 8:28. It'd be a good one to put in the back of your brain for such a conversation, such a situation. Romans 8:28, it'll sound familiar. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Sound familiar? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So that's a verse in Holy Scripture. Do we believe that verse? Do we believe that God works all things for good for those who love Him? The Lord God Almighty, who's sovereignly in control of all things and sovereignly works them together for His plan, He takes all events in our lives, both good and bad, and makes them good. Do we believe that? Due to the effects of sin in the world and in our lives, pain and suffering is everywhere. You can't turn on the evening news without seeing a tragic story. It seems that no one is immune to hurt, to suffering. It's often said of something like cancer, it seems that everyone has someone in their lives who's been affected by cancer. It seems it's also the case with pain and suffering, trials and death. No one is immune from it. Everyone's affected. So the famous comfort and assurance of Romans 8:28 is God uses all things, all those tragedies, all that suffering, He uses it for good. Consider suffering. I have a testimony. Consider suffering. Considering suffering in your own life. We've all been affected to some degree. Consider that suffering which you have experienced or perhaps are experiencing right now. Consider the hard times you've gone through. How can anyone tell you that God uses that for good? How can anyone say that God uses that event, that trial, He uses for good? How can anyone say that? God's Word and His promises are our comfort. And Romans 8:28 is just one example, just one word of encouragement for the people of God. God works all things together for good. For whom? For those who love Him. And for those who are called according to His purpose. So that's us. He takes every trial, every tragedy, periods of suffering, and He works it together for good. For us, for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. So what do we say to our suffering brethren who are struggling with these painful events, these tragedies? How about just general suffering in our lives? What do we say? We don't apologize for it. We say God uses it for good. Why can we say this? On what ground? Because as we've heard from God's word this morning already, we are following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is on the basis of God's promises that He made and He confirmed in Jesus Christ in His suffering and His death. It's based on that we can make such a bold statement. And with that, let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. All right, can I see your eyes on me, please? Yeah, come back out. Can I see your eyes? Good job. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Now, I'm going to ask you kids a question. Jesus Christ is often called our Lord and our Savior. Okay? Who can raise your hand if Jesus Christ is your Savior? Okay? Hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what does Savior mean? Hessel?
He saves you.
Save you from what?
Death.
Very good. Thumbs up if you agree with Hessel. He saves you from our sins and death. Okay, hands down. All right. So we said, yes, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He saves us from our sins and death. Raise your hand if Jesus Christ is your Lord. Okay, hands down. Who can raise your hand and tell me, what does Lord mean? Two hands. Do you know? Do you know what Lord means? Okay. Dean, can you tell me what Lord means?
All right. Do you want the really long
one? No, I don't want the really long one. But thanks for asking.
Lord is someone who rules over someone else.
Someone who rules over someone else. Thumbs up, thumbs down if you agree with Dean's definition. Lord is someone who rules over someone else.
Kind of.
You're in the middle? You want to hear his long answer, don't you? Just to confirm it. No, not too much. I'm with you. Okay. Hands down. You're right. That's a good definition. Okay. A lord, you might think of a king or someone who has servants who work for him. Okay. So we can say that Jesus is our Lord. We also heard this morning that Jesus is our example. He is our example. Okay? Raise your hand if Jesus is your example. Okay? Hands down. Who can raise your hand and tell me, what does example mean? Emma? Follow what somebody else does. Raise your hand if you follow. Sit still, please. If you follow what Jesus did or try to. That's why you're giving me middle thumbs, because you try to and you're not perfect at it? Okay.
Nobody's perfect.
Well, who is perfect, Essel?
The Lord.
Very good.
The Trinity.
We're getting theological now, aren't we, Essel? Good job. Sit still. Okay, so today we're talking about suffering. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Did Jesus suffer? Thumbs up for yes, thumbs down for no. Sit still, please.
No.
Thumbs up. Very good. Jesus suffered.
A lot.
A lot.
Under Pontius Pilate.
Where'd you get that?
The Apostles' Creed.
Very good. The Apostles' Creed. Okay. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Do we suffer?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Some occasions.
No.
Oh, you're all full of answers today, aren't you, Hessel? Yes. On some occasions, we suffer. So who can raise their hand and tell me? Who is our example in suffering?
God.
Okay, what were you going to say? The Lord. So should we follow Jesus, follow his example in suffering? Yeah. Is there a better example in suffering than Jesus?
No.
No. Do you want to follow Trevor's example? Do you want to follow my example? No, we want to follow Jesus' example. Okay? And that's how we suffer. Okay? Can we pray, please? Can we fold hands? Close eyes. Fold hands. Close eyes. And please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us in your image and saving us in your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to follow Jesus as Savior, Lord, and our example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we follow Jesus in the path of suffering. And it's an easy answer. Who is our example? Do we follow Jesus in everything? And we know this. We know that we follow Jesus as he is our Lord. We hear it in God's word. And Jesus himself calls his people to endure. To endure in suffering. This is part of our discipleship. Now it's one thing to endure in suffering. That is Christ-like and that is good. It's something else to live a life of suffering. It's something different to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. For example, it's one thing to exhort a suffering brother or sister to endure. Just say, be faithful in this. That's one thing. It's something else to tell them, this suffering is part of your following Christ. For it is part of following Jesus that we suffer. Suffering is part of following Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All who desire to live a godly life, means following Jesus, being faithful to God, all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. God's word tells us, and we believe, that our suffering is part of discipleship. And we believe that God uses our suffering for good. Suffering is part of discipleship, and God uses it for good. How do those go together? How are they reconciled? Hebrews 2, our sermon text this morning, verses 9 and 10. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. So this is one of those things that goes backward or downward from Jesus to us. Jesus is now crowned with glory and honor. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's now presently crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he suffered. Because he suffered death. Christ's death brought him glory and honor. The Father gave him glory and honor because he suffered. And because he died, as Hessel said. He died for our sake. He's Savior that he took death from us. He took our sins from us. That's why the Father crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 10. He is the author of our salvation. And God the Father made him perfect through suffering. Jesus, the Son of God, in human flesh, was like us in every way except he did not sin. He had weaknesses. He was tempted. But God the Father made him perfect through suffering. Suffering made him full. Suffering made him perfect in his earthly life. And in his being made perfect, he fulfilled the Father's plan. He took an eternal wrath of God the Father upon himself for our sake, and he died. And from that death, where is Jesus right now? In heaven, at the right hand of God the Father, crowned with glory and honor. So what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with our suffering? Jesus already did all that stuff. Why do we have to suffer? Verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, he did all this. To bring many sons to glory. That's you and that's me. We're united by faith to Jesus Christ. God sees us as sons. In Christ. And Jesus paved the way for us. He led the way. Savior, Lord, example. He led and showed us how to suffer, as 1 Peter 2 tells us. He showed us how to suffer. And he showed us what we accomplish in suffering. Where does suffering all lead God's people? After the service, when you gather around a brother or sister who's going through a trial, you ask how you're doing, how you feeling. Tell them this. Following Christ in faithfulness and suffering leads to maturity in the faith, leads to be made perfect like our Savior, and through that Jesus brings us to glory. Why did he suffer? To bring many sons to glory. Now resist the temptation, for we often, out of reverence for Christ, we write things off where we're supposed to be like him. It's like the boys up here, like, are we like Jesus? Kind of. And that's true, okay? That's good. It's good to have reverence for God. Maintain that reverence. But in that, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Don't write off those exhortations and promises where God says they are attainable. If God says it's possible, believe him. He says in his word that we will be made perfect through suffering. Like Christ. Like Christ. You will be brought to glory through your suffering and death. It's not because you're really good and you're really strong and you're really faithful that you can do it on your own. No. It's because you're following Jesus. You have union with Christ by faith. You're clinging to Him. You're not clinging to your faith. You're clinging to Jesus. And through that, He's growing you up. Not like little children tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We're growing up in the faith. We're becoming full, mature, and perfect in Christ. Now, forgive me for saying it this way. Brothers and sisters, we don't suffer for no reason. Forgive the double negative. We don't suffer for no reason. We suffer because we are becoming more Christ-like. We suffer because we're being made more like Jesus Christ. We are growing by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're becoming like our Savior, our Lord, and our example. So, practically, how do we look at our suffering? How do we view it when it happens? When suffering comes upon us, how do we view it? How do we counsel one another? How do we comfort one another in the midst of those trials? If you follow Jesus in this, if you follow Him and cling to Him by faith, you will grow up. If you cling to Jesus Christ in your suffering, you'll be made more perfect. If you live like Christ through these trials, you have the promise, brothers and sisters, of being crowned with glory and honor. Does that sound like it's worth it? Does that sound like it's worth enduring? Does that sound like a better perspective than just grin and bear it, grit your teeth? You can get through this. No temptation has befallen you that is uncommon to mankind. Which you suffered, someone else has suffered. You'll get through it. Don't worry about it. Or, look to Jesus. Follow Him. Cling to Him. Suffer like He suffered. And God will bless you. Jesus showed us how to do it. And He promises to be with us through it. To bring us unto glory. For His sake. Amen.